Lehman Brothers, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, Wilmington Trust. You might not think of that last one as a banking juggernaut, but it's nevertheless the first bank to be criminally charged after receiving a federal bailout following the 2008 financial collapse. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov, and this is Newsworks Tonight. Dave Heller is off this evening. A federal grand jury returned the indictment against the bank last night. On the verge of collapse, the indictment alleges the bank, through its senior executives, lied to bank regulators, investors, and the Securities and Exchange Commission about the number of its past due loans. University of Delaware business professor Charles Elson says U.S. Attorney Charles Oberle must have had his reasons, but describes the indictment as very odd.
Corporations don't commit crime. Individuals do. I've always believed that these penalties should go against the individuals. It's like suing the getaway car. You need a driver. It's the driver who's the problem.
Joining me now is Brandon Garrett. He's professor of law at the University of Virginia and author of the book Too Big to Jail, How Prosecutors Compromise with Corporations. Professor Garrett, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Do you agree with Professor Elson, and is this a satisfying result?
Well, first of all, I disagree because the prosecutors here are prosecuting individuals who are involved in these crimes. They announced charges against individuals earlier this year. There's a separate purpose, obviously, to prosecuting the bank itself, which is that probably only the bank itself can pay the fines or make the changes to prevent crimes from happening again. One new thing about a case like this is that, you know, 2 years ago, you did not hear about banks getting charged with crimes and then getting convicted. Immediately after the financial crisis, I think there was a lot of public concern that most of what we were seeing was that banks, if they got caught committing crimes, the employees would not be prosecuted, and the banks themselves were settling the cases out of court using non-prosecution type deals where they wouldn't have a criminal record. And so it's significant here that the prosecutors are not only going after individual bankers who committed crimes, but they've also indicted the bank and they're pursuing a criminal conviction.
The financial crisis happened in 2008. It's now 2016. Why haven't charges like these come down earlier? And why haven't any of the larger banks that got bailouts been charged?
Well, that's a good question. Obviously, the Department of Justice has responded to questions like that directly and said that, you know, we've brought charges whenever we've had evidence, and we haven't uncovered evidence at other banks that crimes contributed to the financial crisis. From the outside, it's really hard to know, obviously, whether they tried hard enough to dig up that evidence. But it's not easy to find out what people were doing on the inside of these complicated institutions. You know, the bank's response is, well, you know, people have been watching over us like hawks ever since the financial crisis. If crimes were committed, we would have been charged, so we didn't do anything wrong.
If these charges pan out, what kind of precedent do you see it setting? Could we see some other similar types of prosecutions?
Well, we've already been seeing over the last 2 years, really, that the prosecutors are pursuing banks in court. They are seeking criminal convictions. In the past, we've had banks prosecuted multiple times. Some of our largest financial institutions prosecuted multiple times in the space of just a few years. But each time, it was a non-prosecution agreement or a deferred prosecution agreement that was settled out of court. And so the banks could say, you know, we're not recidivists. We've never been convicted of anything. And so this is another example of prosecutors insisting that if a crime was committed by employees, that we target the employees and that we also obtain a conviction so that the bank has a record. And that has real consequences. If the bank is convicted, that means that the bank may be on probation. If anything happens again in the future, it would be a violation of probation. And so it does make for much more accountability if they do secure a conviction.
Is it significant in any specific way that this is the first bank that received bailout money to be charged?
Well, yes. I think there have been sort of concerns in the public that the bailout money go to deserving recipients. And so I think it sets an important precedent. Hopefully we don't have to, as a society, bail out our banks again in the future. But for those who have real too big to fail concerns about the banks, it's a relief to know that if a bank really does take advantage improperly of a bailout, that there could be consequences. So I really do think it sends an important message. We don't want banks to be too big to fail, but if we do need to prop up banks to avert economic disaster, we want to know that those banks aren't too big to jail.
I've been speaking with Brandon Garrett. He's professor of law at the University of Virginia. Professor Garrett, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.